This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here with Hard Drive Radio. Delighted to be joined in the studio right now by the multifaceted Ash Costello.
Hi.
How are you? It's great to see you again.
Thank you. I know. We were just trying to figure out, was it 2 years, 3 years? It feels like it was yesterday.
It's been quite a while.
You look the same. You look great.
Oh, why, thank you. You also look amazing, as always.
I just threw this together.
So modest.
I know. So humble.
So first off, I wanted to say congratulations on your alternative press cover.
Thank you.
Look amazing. And
Thank you.
I think it's the first time you've had the cover all to yourself, right?
It is, yeah. I've been on the cover before, but I've always had to share it. And I feel like you're getting to know me better, and you know that I don't like to share. I skipped kindergarten, and I didn't learn how to do that, and I was hoping someday I'd get to have it all to myself, and I finally did.
Well, it's awesome, and it's out now as the October issue, I believe.
It's actually the December issue.
Really?
I could see why you'd guess October. I would have guessed that as well. But for whatever reason, my issue kept getting pushed back because there would, you know, they would want to do a limited edition or a tribute to somebody. Unfortunately, another rock star would pass away. And so my cover got pushed back, which I'm totally fine with because, you know, it gave me more time to prepare and make it even cooler than it came. I thought it would come out. So December, and I think it's just hitting stands now.
So when you were doing the shoot for the cover, did you already have in mind what you wanted to do, or was AP coming up with the suggestions? How did that work?
Well, I suggested the theme of the saying really, really, really gets me. I saw somewhere it says a true queen turns her pain into power. And I, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's the theme, you know, because I feel like this is the first year myself as an artist and New Year's Day as a whole is taking our position in like the reins finally, you know, after all these years. So I wanted to go with that theme. So yeah, but and most of the stuff happened to be like my own furniture. I have two thrones just laying around my house.
That's awesome. That's the dream right there. I want to get two thrones in my house. That'd be fantastic.
They're at either side of my dining table, which is like a medieval, just totally dark wood, plain, like long. I don't know. Man, I always post about my house on Instagram. You got to follow me because I'm so proud of it. We have Ouija boards for placemats.
Oh, that's incredible.
Planchettes for coasters. I'm really proud of it.
You have the coolest house.
I know.
Hands down.
I've been working on it for a long time. It didn't start out very cool.
I remember
piece by piece.
The last time we talked, you were talking about you have this collection of weird stuff, including some
it got
of your
weirder.
Friend's teeth and like other really weird. So does this have like a nice place of prominence in your house now?
Only recently.
Really?
Before it was just taking up like every tabletop dresser I had because I didn't have like a specific spot. So my boyfriend and I found on Craigslist this old black curio cabinet, I guess they're called. Yeah. And it's already full. It's already filled. Now I already need another one now. So I just added a two-headed fetus baby to my collection, which really weirds everyone out. Black widows, they're real, but they're dead.
Yeah.
But they're posed, freakiest looking shit. I swear,
creepy,
it's.
Yeah.
But I love looking at it. I don't know why. And I added a three-eyed crow.
Wow.
Very good. And my next big ticket item is a human arm from the finger to the elbow.
Wow.
A little steep these days, $900, man.
I can imagine. It's so weird too, because I mean. You think about these things, and you would wonder why they would even be for sale in the first place. But
for people who are weird like me.
There's a market for it.
Yeah, there's a market. Not a big one, but we're out there.
You got to find your audience. That's all it is. Let's talk about new music. New Year's Day has a new EP coming out next month. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, we were supposed to start making our full album before Warped Tour, and we actually did. We spent almost 4 weeks in the studio and wrote a whole thing, and then I decided I didn't like it. It wasn't where I wanted to go completely after listening to the whole thing. So we scrapped it and then did Warped Tour. And I really pleaded my case of, I really want time to make a record. New Year's Day's never had that. Our labels always said, well, you have 30 days. Make a record. Figure it out. Like between tours. And it's very stressful. It's a lot of pressure. And you end up just going with the first things you write instead of maybe picking the best 12 out of the 50 songs you spent time writing. Which I've never been able to do. So this time I asked for time and they gave it to me. So we know it's going to take a while. And we thought, in the meantime, let's put out an EP and have fun with it. So I got to do a cover song EP of all the songs I like. So I don't know if I'm like allowed to announce the songs, but some are already out there. So I can tell you we do I'm Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage with Miss Lizzie Howells, our guest vocalist. Oh, dude, she's so good. She wails.
I mean, I want to talk more about the album, but I did want to talk about the tour you guys just wrapped, the Halloween Scream tour, and just like traveling around the country. Because first of all, Lizzie, amazing artist.
She has to be the nicest person in the music industry I've ever met.
It's absolutely
true. It's stupid nice. It's like offensively nice. But she's great. You know, she was the first one to come into the room and take shots with us. And as a headlining band of the size they are, that doesn't really ever happen to us. So we got to bro down with them quite a bit, and that had to be the easiest, most fun, most stress-free tour we've ever done.
I was able to catch it when you guys came through the New York area and played out in Long Island.
Which one was that? The Space?
Yes, in Westbury.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I've never been there before. I was like, oh,
me neither. I've never even
cool.
heard of it.
I think it's pretty new. I think it's from the same people who own the Paramount out east. Uh-huh. But yeah, it was great, and it was a great show. And you know, three of my favorite bands, Hailstorm, Starset, New Year's Day. I was like,
yep, not a bad one.
Hell yeah.
Starset show.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy watching them set it up every day, and they have it down to a science. It's pretty gnarly to watch.
It's fun, you know, because I was able to interview those guys when they were first up and coming too, and being able to watch them grow over the years and like add to their show and refine it, and you know, the elements that they've dropped that didn't work, and you know, adding in the new stuff.
Okay, I'm new to the Starset game, so what did they drop that didn't work? I'm curious.
Okay, so if you've ever seen them when they're early years, there's still pictures of it too. Dustin used to have this giant transparent touchscreen, which he'd use to play all the samples.
He had that on the first day, and it just pooped out on him.
Yeah.
I did get to see that once. Yeah, it pooped out.
Unfortunately, I don't think I've ever seen a show where he didn't have to like reset it mid-song.
Because
like it was a cool visual thing, but I feel like technically it was a pain in his ass.
There's a lot of things that can go wrong with that.
Yeah.
When there's a lot of wires involved in a lot of different areas, that's like, we sometimes only play to a laptop and that thing poops out every now and then. So I could imagine.
Yeah,
you know?
it gets complicated.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it's fun to watch them. It's fun to watch you guys evolve too, you know?
Thank you. We didn't have any production on that tour. We were the opening band, so we were like, all right, we just have to rely on bringing the rock, and let's go out there and prove it. You know, we didn't bring lights, we didn't bring sets or anything this time, and it was actually really cool just to rely on the music and us performing. So especially like with the contrast of going on before the star set, which is such a big difference between sets, it felt good. But then, did you get to see our last song? Because that's when we debuted fucking Hostile.
Yes, okay. I did, and I wanted to ask you about that.
I was excited to see what you thought about it.
I thought it was great.
Thank you.
I thought you guys did an amazing job, and I believe that's on the EP, isn't it?
Yes. I was very adamant about doing Pantera's fucking Hostile because I've never heard a female do it. I've never heard a female do any Pantera song. And I really, 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 really wanted to be the one that could prove a girl can shred it. And I'm so happy with how it came out. And live, I wake up in the morning and I think, okay, it's only like 7 hours till I get to play fucking Hostile. It's my favorite part of the day. It's so fun. Yeah.
I mean, it's you did a fantastic job. I mean,
Thank you.
You can't sing that song, and I use the term sing loosely, because you're basically screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't do that unless you have a real power behind you. So the fact that
you
can pull that off.
And you have to be refined, and now having done it, you have to have a lot of vocal control because the dynamics in that song are up and down all over the place. So it was a really fun challenge for me. Every day, it was a really fun challenge.
I was going to ask, you know, what was probably your favorite part of doing that tour?
Playing fucking Hostile.
Yep.
was my favorite. Because I think for us, Hailstorm was a really new crowd as far as their fans. And so by the end of the set, I would ask who's never seen us, and basically the whole crowd would raise their hand, which I love. That's why I don't want to go on tour and play to the same people. You know, that's not fun.
Yeah.
That's not fun at all to me. My gratification comes from winning people over. So as soon as we play fucking Hostile and it hits the chorus and people know what it is, you can see everyone that was a little unsure about us crosses over. It's great. I know it's great.
Let's talk a little more about the EP. When you guys put it out, where was it recorded, and who did you work with?
Mitch Marlowe, who I'm a big fan of. He's most notably known for his amazing work with In This Moment. He did several In This Moment songs, but two of which are specifically my favorite, Adrenalize Me and Sick Like Me. Those are very much Mitch Marlowe. He has a very certain sound that I'm just in love with. So we got to do it with him at his studio in his house in Burbank. And he's just this cool, laid-back biker dude. Really cool. And it was the first time I felt really relaxed in the studio. Really relaxed. And I think it helped me a lot.
So you think you're going to go back and work with him again for the
like
full length?
Yeah. I'd like to. We haven't decided on a producer yet for the full length. We're still in the writing process, which I've never gone out and written with other people. Before it was always our former producer, Eric Ron, and me. And who we met. He was here the last time. Mm-hmm. And this is very different now, going out into the world and writing with other people. And I've got to meet I wrote with a guy the other day who wrote the biggest Train song, the Hey Soul Sister song, which was like number one across the entire world for like a year. And that was really weird. It was awesome. But it was like, wow, I'm in the presence of someone with like a massive number one hit under their belt. That's insane.
I imagine it's got to feel a little good, though, because, I mean, you know, you write hit songs, you know, everyone wants to work with you, and you can choose to be a little more picky about who you work with. So the fact that he wants to work with you, I feel like that's got to feel pretty good.
It was, and I feel like everyone I've written with has been really complimentary to me, saying, you know, we've been wanting to work with you, and we love your voice. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, people know who I am now? That's weird.
Is it hard to adjust to? Or?
No.
No.
You just
slide into place where you're supposed to be, right?
It feels like this is all meant to be. It all happens the way it's meant to happen.
Good. Let's talk about one of the other cover songs that we're actually going to be playing on our upcoming cover show, which we do the weekend after Thanksgiving.
We do
an annual cover show every year. We call it Cover It Up Special Edition. It always does the weekend after Thanksgiving.
That's cool.
And we're playing your cover of Gangsta.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. It just hit a million views.
Nice.
On the music video, which I'm really proud of. I did basically the concept, the set design, the costumes. You know, typically I'm usually pretty hands-on with our music videos. And it came out so good.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with it. Yeah, it came out great.
And it really lended itself to the theme of that whole Suicide Squad thing. The song being on the Suicide Squad soundtrack, it was like a no-brainer.
And it was actually the Harley Quinn and Joker theme song for their montage. So that's why I wanted to almost shot for shot recreate the look down to even the lighting and where the sun was shining through Harley Quinn's cage. We tried to recreate it the best we could. And that's why it was really important for me. And I bet everyone was like, why is she so obsessed with this? I had to find the original Harley Quinn unitard costume with the horns and throw that into the music video somewhere, because they did that in the movie, but only for a split second. So I was really stoked we made that happen.
I feel like this is probably just tailor-made project for you.
I agree. I felt very much in my element. But then I feel like a lot of people go, gosh, any chance to do the Harley Quinn thing, she's got to do. So there's going to be a time where I have to put that aside, but not while it's still fun.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, You have the ability to do it now, so as long as you enjoy it, might as well keep it.
I just love Harley Quinn. I don't care. You know, I loved it before it was popular, and I'll love it, you know, until when everyone else is sick of it, I'll still love it.
She's a fascinating character that I feel like does not get enough justice.
I feel like I can relate to her a lot. Like, her heart is in a good place. It really is, but she's just kind of a wackadoo and out of her mind. But she tries so hard to be good. In her way, the way that she defines it, and I can really relate to that.
I mean, I always enjoy reading think pieces written about it and, you know, analyzing the relationship between her and the Joker and the abusive nature of it, and it's always just like, this is so much more deeper than, like, Joker's, you know, corny girlfriend character that got
popular.
Yeah,
it's a lot deeper.
It's so much deeper than that.
And I've always wondered why she keeps going back to the Joker. You know?
Why do people keep going back to their abusers?
Well, that's why I have, I tattooed this on myself. It says, blow me up. Because she, no matter how many times Joker tries to blow her up, she keeps going back.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
It's crazy.
I thought that was just really fascinating.
Let's get back to a little more of the music.
Sorry.
That's all right. I mean, we're going to go off on tangents. This is what we do.
I know.
Always happens when we talk. Probably why they try to keep us away from each other.
No.
Go off on a spiral forever. There is an original song out right now, a new song that people are still getting to hear. Disgust Me. Can you tell me a little bit about what went into making that song and how it survived the culling of everything else?
Well, it really is the only survivor, and just because it was a great song. You know a good song when you play it because you feel it, and I believed in the song very much. Then we tested it out on Warped Tour first too, and the reaction live can never lie. You know, I know we've pulled songs from sets when we play it. I'm like, I call it an energy suck. You know, I play it. I'm like, that did not feel right. And we pull it. So Discuss Me Every Day went over so well. So I suggested putting it on the EP. And, you know, after our team thinking about it for a little bit, they agreed to do it. And I get to do one of my biggest music videos I've ever done for it a month from now.
Really?
The biggest budget I've ever been given. I'm so excited. It's double what I was given for the Gangsta video. So I'm really pulling out all the stops. So as soon as I go home in a couple days, I get to start putting that together.
Nice. So it's we don't even awesome. Know what it's going to be yet, huh?
I don't want to say anything, okay. But it's going to be so cool. I can't wait. I really want to show all kinds of different sides of me, especially, I mean, I guess like I'll talk about it a little bit. People come on my hair so much, and I want to really show that I don't need it. It's something I like, but I don't need this.
Oh, God, don't cut it.
No, I think I'm going to shave my head.
Oh, my God.
Not for real.
Okay.
Not for real. Just, okay. You know, special effects.
Like, I mean, yeah. Like
movie magic.
I've worn a bald cap. I fit most of this under there.
Did
so,
you really?
Yeah. Oh,
no
I,
way.
I did a Halloween.
I'm afraid I'm going to have a really big head
ago.
With all this hair.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And it's going to take a long time. You like you kind of like wrap it around yeah. And like pin it in place. So it's.
You'll have to show me a picture later. Wait,
I was a war boy from Mad Max for Halloween a couple years ago.
That's awesome. So. Did you have the silver lips?
Yeah, I did. Like,
oh
skull
my God, you're
going
to have to show me that.
And then I wore a shirt because it was cold. It's New York. It's Halloween, yeah. So it's a little cold. So I couldn't do the full like topless thing because I'm not that attractive
that's
anyway.
That's really cool.
The shirt said Furiosa for Warlord. It was like an electric
that's
shirt.
That's cool.
It was fun costume.
Did you get to yell for Valhalla a lot?
Of course,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
Witness me. And I got like, was it the there's like this cake spray, silver cake spray.
Yeah. And you
so
got
I can
to
spray
it. Oh,
myself.
That's so cool. Because
it's not paint, so I can actually.
Well, no, I'm sure you could
safe.
Put spray paint in your mouth. It's probably
not
a good idea.
Yeah, that I would probably.
Commit to the character. That's awesome. Is that was after I saw you last then.
Yeah. That was
so
maybe 2 years ago.
Then you know we did a Mad Max themed music video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
absolutely.
I had to do a Mad Max Break You.
Yes.
And
thank you.
And we got to ride in a lot of the cars used in the movie.
Yeah.
The VW Bug, and there was another one. And I was just like a kid in a toy store. It was so fun. They
it
had
is.
Like a bunch of weapons and stuff that they used on set. It was awesome.
There's a weekend. It's
Wasteland.
Yes.
Yes.
You know exactly what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes. I've never gone, unfortunately. I've always been on tour. But the company, the lot that we went to in the desert that just has all these cars, I mean, dozens upon dozens of just these weird freak cars that they have built. They use them. They're the ones that build and design Wasteland, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all these cool like platforms and stages and props. And I was like, man, I want to use it all. I was like, what can I get for $300? And I had to really sweet talk the guy. I was like, $300, what can he? He's like, you can have this bin of random weapons and choose three cars. It's like, sold.
Absolutely. I'll take
sold.
It. I would love to go to the Wasteland weekend once.
Yeah.
I think it would be.
I just think dressing up for it would be the funnest part.
Totally. You mentioned Warped Tour, and we all got the news this week that Warped is going to be the, you
yeah.
know, the last year's
I saw
next
it coming.
Year. I'm really surprised by it, but I'm sure Kevin has his reasons, but I kind of want to just get your reaction to it and your feelings about it.
I think just like everything comes and goes, you know, music festivals, how many have lasted almost 25 years, really?
Not many.
Not many that I can think of at all, and festivals come and go, you know? What was one? Mayhem was one.
Oh, yeah,
years
Mayhem.
Past, and there's another one with a U, I feel like.
I remember,
I don't
you know.
Know.
I remember the Ozfest,
yeah.
you know? Tours back in the day, and now it's a destination festival.
Yeah,
Lala's a destination festival.
I think Warped Tour will probably end up being a destination festival, maybe
so
something
too.
That's more of like 3 or 4 dates rather than, you know, 57 dates.
Yeah,
I think just the times change. Yeah, I don't think there's any one particular reason. I don't think it's because there was a lack of quality on Warped Tour's part. I don't think it was because Warped Tour wasn't cool anymore. I think just the times change, you know.
It's amazing to me because I feel like every time I go out there, I just see hordes of just kids, you know, so excited to be there
yeah.
and all these great bands. And
yeah.
I'm just like, I guess go out on top.
Yeah. You know, I guess that's true. If we start seeing signs of a decline, I think it's better to go out when you're still on top than when things are really sad looking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely, this was my 7th Warped Tour. I know, over 10 years. I think I'm the only female musician that's been on it that many times for that long. And, you know, I saw a difference in the past couple years. And even I was feeling like the end was near. So I was really happy that I got to headline it before it ended, because that was my, since I was a teenager, one of my number one goals was to headline Warped Tour, was to be on the main stage. So we finally got to do it.
That's awesome.
So I was like, okay, it can end now. It's fine. I'm fine. Just kidding. No. But I'm really honored we got to do it before it ended.
Do you have, besides headlining, do you have another favorite memory of your time at Warped?
There's so many. I mean, I got to meet a lot of my heroes at Warped Tour. I got to meet Burt McCracken from The Used, was one of my biggest heroes, because I snuck into my first Warped Tour in 2003, I think, and I snuck in just in time to see The Used playing main stage. And they were playing Taste of Ink, and he was climbing up the rafters, and when the last chorus hit, he jumped into the crowd. And I remember thinking, someday that's going to be me. And we did Warped Tour with The Used a couple years back, and I got to tell him that story, and he was actually really blown away, like he really cared. And that day he asked me to sing Taste of Ink with him on stage. And so talk about like a wonderful full circle. And I just love stories like that, because there's so many kids in the audience I know dreaming of the same thing. And if I know it's cliche to say, but if I can do it, you can do it. You know, if I can get there. So there's just too many good stories. There's too many.
I mean, the thing about sayings like that, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. Everyone says it because it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I always tell kids, this last Warped Tour, I got to do this really cool thing called Think T.E.I., and it was this neat thing that Warped Tour provided, where kids could buy a ticket and come backstage and have a class with me one-on-one. Well, not so much one-on-one, more like 1-on-50. And I got to tell the kids, you know, that one of the most asked questions was, what's your advice for doing what you do and getting that far? So it's not like I'm luckier than someone else. Lord knows that's not true. It's not like I'm more talented than anyone else, or I had like a rich uncle in the music industry, or you know, any knowledge of what I was doing whatsoever. I just never gave up.
Perseverance.
Yeah, that's it. And with that, like, everybody has that. You just have to be strong enough to hold on. No different than anyone else.
Beautiful words.
Thanks.
And good advice.
Thank you.
I don't understand how you have all the energy to do all that you do, because
I don't.
On top of, you know, touring and writing with New Year's Day, you also have another band, The Haxons.
Yeah.
And
what do
you guys
think?
Just put out a
what
full
album.
What
do you
album. Think? I think it's awesome.
Yay, thank
I
you.
I love it.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fun.
Thank
That's
you.
What it
it's
is,
meant
you know?
To be. It's meant to be. We had a lot of fun making it. We had a blast making it. I mean, like, belly laughing, crying, like literally, I'm not just saying this, rolling on the ground together, laughing, making this album. It's the best.
I mean, it's called Party Monsters.
Yeah.
And it absolutely lives up to the name. Listening to the album, I can't help but just like shake my ass a little bit as
yeah,
I'm listening.
Yeah, that's what we wanted. We did not want moshing, circle pits, you know, horns in the air. We wanted people shaking their butts to our music. We wanted to be the goth icon Tina Turner, which sounds weird, but you know, that's what we were going for.
Well, hopefully with less physical abuse.
With less violence,
yes.
More dancing, yeah.
For people who are unfamiliar with the Haxons, tell us a little bit about how it got started.
Well, I always like to start off with what the Haxons means, because people are like, what's the Haxon? The Haxons is a documentary from the 60s, maybe 70s, I believe, about occultism and witchcraft. And being a Haxon is like being someone kind of in tune with the darker side of things. And so Piggy came up with that, of course. It's very Piggy. The way we met was at the Metal Hammer Golden God Awards. No, Revolver Golden God Awards in LA. And I was walking the black carpet and someone introduced me to Piggy, who was there with Rob Zombie. And we have a photo from that first moment. I don't know why we posed like we were in a prom photo. And he describes it the same as me. It was like an instant connection, like twins separated at birth. Because the shit we have in common is so detailed and so random. I couldn't believe it. We even both have the same first issue of Fangoria when we were kids.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, my first issue was the one with the guy getting his brain dissected on the front. He's like, fucking shut up. Me too. I was like, no, you're lying. So we spent at least an hour on the internet Googling, trying to find this specific cover. It blew our fucking minds.
That's awesome.
Blew our minds. Or like our favorite cartoon when we were kids was called Quackbusters. Do you remember Quackbusters with Daffy? It was like the spooky version of Looney Tunes. No one ever knows that. It's weird, man. It's weird. So we had a lot of fun.
Good, good. Where did you guys record the album?
Piggy's living room.
Nice.
Yeah, Piggy's living room in Burbank. It took 3 years to make, mostly because he's always on tour with Rob Zombie. And when he's not on tour, I'm always on tour New Year's Day. So it'd be 2 weeks here and there, two songs at a time here, another 4 months goes by, another two songs. And it took forever and ever and ever. And I still can't believe it's finally out. I was so fucking proud of it. It's so good. I can't take any credit for the songs. I learned very quickly. All I had to do was show up, and I trusted his judgment on what was cool. He'd play me a song and go, I don't know, it's kind of stupid. If you hate it, you can tell me. Just tell me. He says it every time. Every time he plays, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That's the coolest shit I've ever heard. Let's do it. And he's always in awe. Like, do you think so? Like, yes. Absolutely. I remember the one he was the most unsure about was called Professional Weirdo. No, not Professional Weirdo. It was one that goes, boom, chicka, boom, shakalaka, boom.
Oh,
I forget the name. But he was so unsure about it. I'm like, dude, how do you even come up with this shit? He's like, I get high. Okay. Well, that's whatever works, man.
Honesty.
Yeah.
I remember when the EP came out, and I was like, oh, man, this is fun. I really hope they do a full length. And I'm
glad
that...
Three songs from hell. Yeah. Three hits from hell.
I'm glad that you guys pursued that and put it
out.
Thank you. Do you think there will ever be a time where both of you are off for a significant amount of time where you could actually maybe play some shows?
We wanted to play shows this December, and then we were like, okay, maybe we'll play shows this January. And we're working on it. We really are, because that just sounds so fun. And we're getting all kinds of offers. We got offered the hymn tour that's going on right now.
Oh, nice.
We were offered a tour John 5. We were offered Pretty Reckless, and we always have to turn down these tours, you know. But we'll get there.
Good.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I would like to see that live.
Plus, it's just fucking weird, man. I remember I'd never seen Rob Zombie before. I was unfortunately never lucky enough to get to a concert. And Piggy invited me, and I got to watch him play. And this is after already making a record for 3 years. I got to watch him play to, like, an ocean of people. I just thought, this is so weird. This is so weird. What weird jobs we have. I'm just standing there like, what the fuck is my life right now? Like, Rob Zombie just waved at me. Like, what the fuck? It was just because I've been such a fan my whole life. And it's just like, this isn't real life. It's not real life.
I get that feeling very often with this job.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know, I sit at a desk and I type at a computer just like anybody else.
Yeah.
But then I have these random moments where I get to go into a studio and talk to awesome musicians.
Who's your favorite that you got to talk to?
I once got to interview Marilyn Manson.
Ooh, wait. Did we talk about this?
Probably.
You might have.
Yeah.
I think that was since the interview, I toured with him.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I've got some stories for you.
Oh,
then.
I bet.
Yeah.
Actually, I think, do you have a date coming up with him?
No. We were supposed to play Texas with him the week after he broke his ankle.
And I was at that show, too, because that happened here in New York at Hammerstein Ballroom.
I didn't know that. Was it crazy to watch?
It was scary.
Oh.
Because at first you didn't know what happened.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
Was he able to get up? How'd he get off stage?
He, you see the thing kind of fall forward, and there's videos of it.
Yeah, I've seen the video.
But it's hard to see because there's a lot of fog on the stage.
It's very scary. Like, you think, did that just crush his skull?
I was afraid of that. I didn't know what happened. I saw it fall, and, you know, the guys on stage are still playing. They didn't notice, and then they kind of look over, and you see they kind of, like, slow down, stop playing, and the drummer kind of cuts out. And then they kind of turn the lights off, and we're like, oh, this is bad. And then they have, like, four or five guys with, like, a sheet come out and, like, block off side of the stage. So you can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
And at that point, I knew it was like,
how'd they have
a
sheet just randomly on the side?
I think the venue just like has one.
Well, that's lucky.
Go. So I was assumed they were carting him off on a stretcher.
Yeah, probably.
But fortunately, I have the cell number of one of the guys on his label. So I was texting him the whole time like, oh, shoot, what's going on?
Oh,
and he's
God.
Like, oh, he's going to be okay. But I found out that he broke his leg. And
Something always, we're just not meant to play with Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Because the tour we did with him was in Europe, and the tour was maybe a weekend, if that, and we were supposed to play Paris the next day, but we were in Austria, and the Paris attacks happened, and Manson right away was like, I'm not fucking with this shit, and the whole thing got canceled, and we went home. I'm like, fuck.
So it hasn't happened yet. Have you played any shows with
him? We have. We played. We got to play a couple.
Okay.
And, barely a week's worth, unfortunately. We were supposed to play a few more, and... No go.
Damn.
I know. So then he said, don't worry. We'll get to do this again, hopefully in the U.S. Then we get the U.S. shows. Fucking breaks his ankle.
Yep.
Just not meant to be.
It's, I know. It almost seems like it's cursed, doesn't it?
He was super nice, though. He was really nice to me. That's very cool. Nice. I think what really sold him, he was a little unsure about me. And I was talking to their TM, because we made friends with their whole crew. And I said, do you think he'd be upset or weirded out if I wore a shirt that said Marilyn Manson is my daddy? And he goes, no, he'd fucking love it. Wear it. So I did, and then we were cool. But before that, they warned us too. They're like, he's gonna be mean to you, but that's just his way. Don't take it personally. So we're walking down the hallway, and he'd always have his dressing room door open, which is unusual. Most people, you know, close themselves off. And we walked by, and he leaned out, and he goes, "Who are these fucking homos?" I'm like, "Oh man." And then we all looked at each other like, just keep walking. Don't make eye contact. Oh, yeah. And we were told not to talk to him unless spoken to. Don't watch from the side of the stage unless you're invited. If he's walking past you, keep walking. Don't even leave your stuff in the hall because he'll take it and he'll throw it.
Oh, my God.
So there was one time they're like, Manson's coming. Get your shit. Like, all of our suitcases stuff from the hall. So we were all scurrying to get our stuff, you know, into the room. But one night, I get a knock on our dressing room door, and it's the tour manager. And he goes, Marilyn would like to see you. I was like, oh my God, what did I do? Because I'm always getting in trouble on tour. Always.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm always doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing. Kevin Lyman totally yelled at me on Warped Tour this year, but he gave me a beer after, so it was cool. I'm always doing something. And I was like, fuck, I'm in trouble. It's not good. I'm being called to the principal's office. And he walks me into the room. There's this long, dark hallway because they hang up dark curtains for him. And as soon as I walk into the room, Manson turns on Justin Timberlake song, my favorite one, because we play Justin Timberlake before we go on stage because it gets us, you know, like dancing and excited. And he just starts twerking on me and dancing. And I was like, okay. I was like, suddenly became aware of all my movements. I was like, am I dancing cool? Like, just keep dancing. And I didn't know what to do. And then he just stops and sits down and starts getting ready. And I'm like, do I stop or do I keep dancing? Like, that's weird. So I didn't know what to do. But luckily I got saved by the bell. They came in and they're like, oh, okay, you need to go to stage now. I'm like, oh, thank God. I didn't know what to do with myself. So weird.
That's about as awkward as my encounter with him as well. And I've told that story before. I won't bore
you. I want to hear it again.
Okay, so it was Rock on the Range. And unfortunately, Lou was not able to make his flight. So I had to do a lot of his interviews that day. And one of them was Marilyn Manson. So I walk into his dressing room after they escort me in, and all the lights are off except his vanity mirror.
Except the vanity mirror.
Yep. You know.
Yeah.
So he kind of like looks over and like gets up and walks over to a couch, and he sits down and just kind of like gently pats the seat next to him. And I'm like,
oh,
all right, here
goodness.
We go. So I sit down and I open my bag and I pull out my recorder and I got my notes and everything. He looks over and he says, I see you have a list of questions there. I'm like, yes, I do. He says, I'm not going to answer a single one of those.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, yep, that's
why'd you make it
course.
So hard?
But you know what? He was actually really fun to talk to, and I feel like I did not get enough time because
really,
he's like fascinating.
He
I
is
feel like
very
he could
fascinating.
Just, he could educate me on a bunch
I
of
had
stuff.
To be mad respect to you, by the way, because I've now had to be the interviewer many times for like the APMAs and Metal Hammer Awards or whatnot. And one of my interviews was Manson, and I know because I'm sure I remembered your story. And this is after I had toured with them. I was like, here we go, you know, and he was talking about pirates and space aliens, and I just tried to keep up. And I think you can see the video online, and you're like, oh, poor girl. She's trying so hard. Yeah, I think I hung in there, though.
With Manson, yeah, you just got to roll with it.
Mad respect, though. Mad respect for the interviewer. It's a hard job.
It is.
It is a hard job.
But it's a fun job, and no one's feeling bad for us.
I prefer to be the interviewee, I decided.
I feel like that's probably the harder job.
No, it's way easier. You have the harder job.
Oh, wait. I see. I feel like it's easy for me to do interviews because I just ask a question and then, like, let the person go and just talk.
No, dude. Like I said, mad respect to the interviewer. It turns out that shit is hard.
It's difficult.
But fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but fun.
So amongst all the other things that you do, of course, you also have your own clothing line.
Yes.
So Bat Royalty, that came out a few years ago now, right?
Uh-huh. Came out officially fall of 2016. And so, that's the only time it's come out.
Oh. Yeah. So there's some ugliness going on there.
Yes. Unfortunately, I did my first clothing deal on my own. I didn't have any management or lawyer help me, which is probably my first mistake. So I made a lot of mistakes and had to learn the hard way. What happened was I put out a line with a company that I can't or won't say the name, but they never paid me.
Bastards.
And that's a thing. Getting paid. I like that. I like getting paid for things. Mm-hmm. So we did a deal with Hot Topic, and it was wildly successful. I couldn't believe it. I was on tour at the time, and every Hot Topic I stopped by literally was the entire front window. It was like at the Ash Costello land for a couple months. It was nuts. I felt so blessed, so honored, so lucky, so humbled that they even cared so much. Unfortunately, from that success came – a dark side. I had to go to Hot Topic just to find out how much they had bought, so I know how much I had sold, because the company I worked with wouldn't tell me. Then they stopped returning my emails, and then they kept putting out my designs and took my name off of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. So I had to hire a lawyer who's amazing. She works with Kat Von D and is very good with licensing and branding. And my first mediation date, which I'm learning what that means, is end of November. So basically it means said clothing company sits in one room and I sit in the other with my lawyers, and a mediator goes in between and tries to get us to settle on an agreement so we don't have to go to court. So hopefully this is all behind me and I can continue on with the clothing, because it was awesome. These are the shoes from it.
I remember the Batwing boots. Those are awesome.
Yeah. I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still wear it. And fans still, they apologize for having bought it. Like, don't. You supported me. And even though financially I didn't see anything from it, it's not really the point of why I did it. You know, the fact that it's out there and people loved it was what mattered. But yes, the point of suing them is the money. But not. But the point of people buying it had nothing to do with anything financial.
Good. I was just hoping that, you know, I was reading up on it and kind of just trying to learn about the situation. I was really hoping that the experience hadn't put you off from designing more things.
No, I learned a lot. And you know what? I have a lot of friends that are very successful in the clothing business. Specifically, my two really good friends, Jim and Bobby, who started Blackcraft. And they told me their stories of how Blackcraft started, and they got ripped off by people, and it originally had a different name that they lost. But everything happens for a reason, and to not let the first couple failures discourage you. And that seems to be the general consensus of anyone. Turns out the fashion industry is almost as shady as the music industry.
Who knew?
Pretty stabby.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of stabbiness.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I think I'll stick with radio.
Radio seems nice.
Yeah. It's mostly just a bunch of slackers who never wanted to get a real job.
Sounds fine to me. That sounds fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Talk to Lou Bruce about it.
But thank you for asking.
Of course.
Yeah, so I really hope. We'll see.
I hope so, too. I hope that everything gets resolved and you get to continue to make new things, because I find your designs very interesting.
Thank you.
And, you know, that's very much my style, so you're already preaching to the choir.
And that's one thing I always wanted to do, guys' clothes. They're like, no. I'm like, but the guys,
oh, please.
Though. So please, actually, do. One of the reasons I came to New York was to take a meeting with the company about partnering up with them for the future clothing line. So,
good.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
My wardrobe desperately needs an update, so please.
Okay, maybe you can give me some suggestions later.
Absolutely.
On what to make for a dude.
I'd be happy to.
Okay, thanks.
So, new album is, new EP, I'm sorry, it's coming out next month.
Yes.
What are the future plans for New Year's Day and hopefully the Haxons for early 2018?
Well, Haxons, definitely touring in 2018. We just don't know when. We're figuring that out. But if you haven't checked out the Haxons, the music videos are A+, so they're super fun. Go listen to that. But we just announced a tour yesterday. One of my bucket list tours, finally, touring within this moment. Finally. And then POD, which High School Me is very stoked on that. And then a band called Dead, who we've just recently made good friends with.
I love those guys.
They're really nice.
They're the nicest guys.
I know. We got to party with them at the Loudwire Awards recently and finally, like, get to bro down. So very nice. I think it's going to be a perfect tour package. And then we already have another tour booked for May and April with another band you'd be really happy about. But I can't say it because it's not announced yet, but I'll tell you when you turn the microphones off.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not for your ears, folks.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, but that's so already that's up until the summer, so we're pretty booked.
Good. Nice and busy. That's excellent. I can't wait to see it. I mean, I know you guys just came through a few months ago with Hailstorm, but more New Year's Day is always a good thing in my book.
We'll be back in New York in February.
Beautiful. All right. Ash Costello, man, thank you so much.
We didn't even get to talk about video games.
No, we didn't get to talk about video games this time, but that's okay.
Okay.
I think we're almost out of time anyway.
Next time.
Yes, next time.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.